Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your favorite culinary explorer, Adam Richman, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN. Stirred firm and young with a laid-back tongue.
The aim is to succeed and achieve at 21. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland. And is that time of year again? South Beach Wine and Food Fest, one of the all-time great times, a top event in the country, maybe the world, bringing your favorite personalities of the food world to South Beach, Miami, and Fort Lauderdale. One of the guys fans are most excited to see. You know him as the original star of the iconic Man vs. Food, Man vs. Food Nation, more shows on the Travel Channel, NBC Food Fighters, and as a frequent contributor to the Today Show, TV star, author, tasty world traveler, the one and only Adam Richman. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. It's absolutely great to have you on. You're one of those guys that I think people love because of the perspective that you bring to it in a bunch of different ways. And when you come to travel, On the Road is the name of the show. We talk about transformative travel, road trips, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people, the world's going to be kind of converging to South Beach. You see people from all over the place. So as far as traveling to South Beach, is this something that you look forward to, be honest, every year down there in Miami?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I've been coming, first of all, I'm a Dolphin fan, so Miami has a very dear place in my heart and has since I was a little kid. But I had an uncle who lived in Biscayne Bay. My grandparents lived in Inverary. I mean, I had truly, my aunt and uncle currently live in Boynton Beach. So I've been going down to South Florida for a significant period of my life, whether it was for soccer camp or whether it was just family vacations. I went to college in Georgia. So, you know, it was remarkable to have Florida just simply put that accessible. The thing with South Beach Food and Wine, I think that it's kind of surreal for me as someone who was a fan of that event, who wanted to be part of that event as a spectator. And now suddenly I'm coming up on my third or fourth year in participation. It's kind of mind-boggling, but I love the fact that I get to showcase that, you know, there's more to Miami than the Cuban sandwich and, you know, more to South Florida than the bagel and the 4 o'clock dinner.
Oh, there'll be plenty of that. Do right over there at Deuces, you know that's going to happen as well. So here's the thing. So you get to Miami, and in this setting, it's a great place, and the area is a great place to visit any time of the year. But when it comes up to the festival, you have so many friends from the food world that kind of converge as well. So a lot of fans are going to come up and, you know, be talking to you and asking you all sorts of questions, expressing their support. But you get a chance to meet some of your friends as well, and, you know, kind of your contemporaries in kind of the food celebrity space. Are there any people that you're really excited to see when you get there?
You know, something that's very funny, you really hit the nail on the head, you know, because for those of us that are doing events, it's actually quite a bit of work in the run-up, obviously, whether you're curating the amount of, you know, the vendors at your event, but I'm doing now two events and a cooking demo, and all the minutiae, making sure you have the ingredients and the equipment and so on and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, there's very, especially if you do a show like mine where it's about travel, you know, when I'm doing my current show, Secret Eats, that festivals like South Beach, that's where the rubber meets the road. And, like, to get to meet fans face-to-face, like, en masse, and, like, a broad spectrum of fans from age, from location, from background, that's where you get, like, the valuable feedback on your shows. That's where you really get to know, like, what you've done that has reached people or maybe hasn't reached people or what people want more of or what they miss. And it probably sounds, you know, maybe like politicking, but the truth is I revel in that because Twitter and social media engagement is faceless and soulless. But when someone comes up to you and you see in their face, like they tell you, we planned our family vacation around the things that you've done, you know, or around the events on your show, I think it's just a tremendous, tremendous shot in the arm. And then in terms, I mean, that's the other thing is, in terms of my colleagues, I mean, it's almost like old home week, like yeah. Getting a chance to reunite, you know, see Guy and see Rachel and whomever is in attendance. I think that's kind of what makes it so super special to me. And to me, something that I revel in because these are people that I looked up to just as a viewer.
Yeah, yeah.
So now that like, I'm like somehow considered a peer to these people is mind-boggling. So I'm always tickled. I can't believe, like literally, I like Rachel Ray had invited me to dinner at her house once after New York Food and Wine. And I love her, and I've known her for many years, and I love her, and I love her husband. And, like, every so often, like, I'll catch myself going, yeah, this is crazy. I'm just chilling with Rachel Ray at her dining room table, and drinking wine and listening to music. And it just blows my mind. I mean, you know, Donatella Arpaia has always been so incredibly kind to me. And, you know, Giada's always been such a source of inspiration. Charles Phan has always been a lovely person. I mean, it's really like, it ends up being a little bit of that sort of who's who. I mean, you know, Mike Simon is great. Yeah. And the great Jose Andres. I mean, my cousin is a Secret Service agent who didn't get paid for 35 days during the government shutdown. And people like Jose Andres made, you know, people like his colleagues able to eat. So it's not just a matter of, ooh, I admire their cooking or I like their food. I like the people they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's so many great stories about what it is they do. I think this is another opportunity, too, and for the listeners, we're talking with Adam Richman, is that they get an opportunity to see you guys in a setting that isn't necessarily the stock setting that they're maybe used to seeing you on television, right? You know, you're sort of in your element. You do have an opportunity, a place like Sobey, to get up and say hi. And I think that is really cool. And to see all of those people and knowing the backstory. But I got to tell you, you know, you are right up there with all of those people as far as esteem and the quality of the work, and I think of the general star power. Adam Richman, don't think of it like that. You got to, you know, pinch yourself. I mean, you belong at that at that table. Here's one of the questions. On the travel side, you know, four languages, and so you've always been curious and engaged in the world and experience it firsthand, right, and being out there and doing those things. And you look at kind of the original shows like Man versus Food, certainly you were being tortured by food challenges, but you were traveling, right? You were traveling America and seeing people and seeing different places. And now with Secret Eats, you know, you're all over the world. At what point did that kind of wanderlust or that curiosity to get out there and kind of tell those stories and experience it, when did that first kick in?
As a kid, you know, I lived, my dad, may rest in peace, had a law office in China, like right adjacent to Chinatown. My neighborhood in Brooklyn, you know, I was born in 74, so this notion of the, you know, ethnic cuisine, so to speak, really wasn't a thing. And so the neighbor to the left of us was Syrian. The neighbor to the right of us was like second generation Irish. My neighbors across the street were Sicilian. And you'd go over to their homes and it wasn't like, ooh, I'm eating, you know, Calabrian food. I was eating what Danny's grandma made. I was eating what Raymond's mom made, whatever. And the thing is, you end up having this palate and you begin to realize food is a story and kind of fascinating, and you grow up equal parts, you know, whether it's Cracker Jacks and Knish or whether it's pizza or pierogi. And that was sort of Brooklyn in the late, you know, mid to late 70s and throughout the 80s. And it was kind of unadulterated culture. And then I also, after my folks got divorced, my mom and I moved kind of in the shadow of Kennedy Airport. And I've always sort of loved aviation. And this was prior to 9/11. And you could actually just go to the airport. And I remember being a little kid, and sometimes my mom, you know, because I loved it, we would go to Kennedy and watch the planes take off. So there was always this inherent kind of wanderlust that I had. And the beauty of Man versus Food being that it was all domestic for all three seasons was because, look, I grew up, you know, again, loving and idolizing someone that became a friend, Anthony Bourdain, and he was going to Jakarta and he was going to the favelas in Brazil, and he was really sussing out the essence of a place. And I felt I had an obligation to treat Boise, Idaho, Omaha, Nebraska, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, heck, Miami, Florida, with the same reverential respect that you might treat, you know, a place in Cambodia or some far-flung destination in Tibet. And that's the thing, is that there are so many wonderful cultures involved. And so I think for me as a youth, my pop, may rest in peace, used to say, you know, when we would go to like a quote-unquote ethnic restaurant, he would say, you don't have to finish it, but at least try it.
Yeah.
And he taught me that it was about, you know, being respectful and participating in another culture's food. It's not just about your culinary exploration, but it's a little bit of paying homage and a debt of respect. And I've always, always really loved it. Now, as I learn more about food, I get more from it. And I think the other thing that really is compelling to me about Sobey is, you know, their relationship with the Chaplain School and FIU. You know, that it's not just about eating and drinking, but that the festival has worked with FIU to invest in the other kids like me that have an interest. And whether it's entrepreneurs that are getting help through the sort of entrepreneurial programs that they have at the chaplain school, like feeds and so on and so forth, or that it's just about pure culinary education, I like the fact that it's not just about Adam's story and I'm here to share my thing, that who knows, that some of these kids that are working as a sous chef, Robert Irvine or Alex Guarnaschelli, may one day grow to have their own show and share their own story and inspire other people.
Yeah, you look at the, and they've, you know, as far as lighting that fire and raising that awareness, I think it's somewhere around the neighborhood of $28 million that they've raised through this event. So everybody getting out there, having a great time, learning, enjoying, meeting, and all that kind of stuff is kind of paving the way for the future. I know you mentioned Guy, and I wanted to talk just a little bit about the barbecue stuff that you've done. I think one of the things about Chicago that's very cool is that you can find elevated cuisine and kind of spin that globe and put your finger down. You can find it right here in Chicago. But for some of those trends, I always think it's cool when you find something that, whether it's Filipino food or whether it's, you know, Peruvian food or whether it's barbecue. And for Barbecue Champ, you know, you look at UK and you look at England, it's a place that, you know, maybe has done a lot of noteworthy things. Food hasn't necessarily been some of them. You talk a little bit about that series and how well it's been received, because barbecue is something that's really kind of gained in popularity over there.
You know what the thing is? Every culture has some kind of open fire, sort of primal cooking, whether it's tandoor or whether it's yakitori or whether it's satay, whether it's, you know, going to the English countryside and roasting gammon in the heath, I think that there's really kind of is, as I say, a very primal kind of food. I mean, people don't know barbecue was even named by the pirate Jean Lafitte, and it means, you know, to cook over an open fire on a spit. And I think there is a universality to just like the appeal of something so elemental. I build a fire, I build a source of smoke, and I take a protein or a vegetable, and it's just, you know, flame, fire, food, and your own ingenuity. And I think American barbecue, you know, we are so specific. Americans are super savvy. We know the difference between a Carolina vinegar sauce or, you know, or a mustard sauce to, you know, a more tomato-based sauce as you go further west, or something with molasses and sweeter kind of in the St. Louis kind of range, or an Alabama white sauce. But the thing is, we've gotten so close that it becomes kind of inside baseball. What's awesome is about doing Barbecue Champ in England, and it's actually, it's in Brazil now too. I think it's for them, it's the sheer sort of introduction to barbecue. And it's that moment we've all felt, whether it's been a trip to the South or when a great restaurant opens in our neighborhood. So you mentioned Chicago. I'm friends with the amazing chef Doug Saltis. Oh, yeah. And you know what he's doing with Bub City.
Sure.
And I've been part of the Windy City Smokeout as well. And I think that there's something about barbecue that connects us all to that primal sort of, I've slain the beast and now I shall roast it over my fire. But it's also, it's the flavors you want to eat. It's the side dishes you want to eat. There's a profoundly communal aspect to doing it. So I think that that's super special. And now, you know, the events I'm doing at South Beach,
yeah,
doing things like a night market. The Asian night market has been so popularized that, again, you know, my late friend and mentor, Tony Bourdain, was trying to bring that Singapore hawker stand to New York. And it was featured heavily in scenes in, you know, Crazy Rich Asians. And I think that you have a more savvy diner. So what's awesome is, whether you want something as simple as just a really bomb burger, or you want to get some Malaysian food as opposed to a Japanese dish, as opposed to a Chinese dish, that there is a way to sort of hit everyone's flavors without getting preachy or without sort of dumbing it down.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too, is what I love about South Beach, and you can go to SoBeWFF.org for tickets coming up February 20th to the 24th, and you can speak to this knowing the air a little bit, as well as the Crave Greater Fort Lauderdale series. So you're not only going to get there, it's got all of those different foods and all those different events representing so many different awesome and delicious things, whether it is the Asian Night Market or barbecue or any of those. So talk specifically about that that Crave series with Fort Lauderdale. They started a couple years ago, and it's just expanded. It's cool to get people to get down there and see some of the other cities around Miami as well.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's, you hit the nail on the head. Miami, you know, has been in the consciousness and the zeitgeist of the world. I mean, heck, forgetting about my beloved 72 Miami Dolphins, I'm going to keep mentioning them, by the way, is the fact that, you know, TV shows have been set there. You know, I was one of those people wearing the blazer with the T-shirt, no socks. I went full on Sonny Crockett. I was like a chubby Jewish Sonny Crockett. But I think that there is so much culinary talent on display, and it's not even just like in South Beach, that there is culinary talent on display in places, you know, from whether it's Palm Beach, whether it's in Fort Lauderdale, whether it's in Plantation. And I think that that's the beautiful thing, that if I can lend my name to something that will then in some ways increase either awareness of an area, increase business to an area that doesn't normally get it. I think that it's just very, very easy. For example, as you say, to focus on Chicago, but if so many places, let's say, are in the River North area, my friends have quite a few restaurants and businesses in River North, and that's great. But then there's also wonderful restaurants in Skokie, in Evanston, in Ukrainian Village, and I think that cannot be negated. So for me, I'm so proud to be the champion and the sort of megaphone for places that don't normally get a voice. And what's also really wonderful is you must acknowledge this. Young chefs, up-and-coming chefs, don't often get opportunities in the big metropolitan centers. Rent can be cost prohibitive. The competition is massive. The, you know, resources required can be exponentially more expensive. So a lot of the raw young talents tend to go to these sort of communities just outside of maybe the big metroplex you think of, and they begin to flourish. And a great example in another part of the nation, Boston. You have myriad cooking schools there, Johnston & Wales, Cordon Bleu, and so on and so forth. But Boston, the market is very saturated and expensive. The irony is, if you go to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, if you go to Portland, Maine, you have a lot of those young culinary talents who maybe they didn't have the resources to start in Boston, have now populated Portsmouth and Portland, Maine, for example, and made it into its own kind of culinary thriving metropolis. And that's the thing. You can't just think about the current generation and the current crop, because while right now it's, you know, Adam and Guy and Andrew and Robert and Giada and Buddy and these wonderful talents that are coming in, there's another vanguard that's coming up, and that's what makes it so exciting. You know, who would have thought Action Bronson, the rapper, former chef, is going to become a culinary voice for our time? Eddie Wong used to have Four Loko nights at Bauhaus, and he's now become a linchpin of culinary entertainment. So I think that, you know, showing Fort Lauderdale, showing, you know, I think about my time in going to dinner in Inverary and going to 94th Aero Squadron and going to April's Fancy and these wonderful places growing up in Fort Lauderdale with my grandparents. I welcome it, and I consider it a real big shot in the arm.
Oh, here's the thing, is it is so exciting, right? And I think that, you know, South Beach Wine and Food is a microcosm of the kind of cool stuff that is happening all around the country as supply meets demand for greatness, and supply is out there in that next generation. You guys are leading the way in so many different ways, leading the way down to South Beach right now. It's coming up the 20th to the 24th, and you've got Crave, the Greater Fort Lauderdale series. We'll have the links up at WGNRadio.com, and of course, you've got another event in Miami, Mixing It Up on the Miami River. We'll have a link to that as well. And before we let you go, Adam, for those people that want to follow your adventures and they take you around the world social media-wise or ways that people kind of keep up with your adventures, where can they go?
Well, thank you for doing it. So on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Richman. On Instagram, in case you don't know, it's me. It's my head on Han Solo's body with the picture. And on Facebook, I have an official page. It's uncanny how many people like create imposter pages. I'm like, wow, really? Like, you want to impersonate a basic cable food host? Okay. Like, if that's what floats your boat. But yes, I have a Facebook page. It's Adam Richman on Instagram and Twitter. And Snapchat is OG Adam Richman. And yes, please come if you get a chance. Thursday, February 21st from 10 to midnight is Mixing It Up on the Miami River, which is at the wharf. And there's going to be cocktails and food trucks. And, you know, I've always kind of wanted to be the people's champ. And I want to have the event where you can roll up your sleeves and have a great drink and have great food. And again, February 22nd. And that's the Greater Fort Lauderdale series. And by the way, props to Capital One for, and they're not paying me to say that, for actually being, you know, putting resources forward so we can show Fort Lauderdale. And it's going to be amazing. And shout out to Chef Morimoto, who's always been a good friend, who really did so much of the curatorial work on this Asian night market. And there's Gekkikan Sake and House of Suntory is going to be there, so it's going to be the bomb.
Oh, it's going to be great. He is the people's champ, one of the best in the business, doing the people's work at South Beach and for the Crave Greater Fort Lauderdale series, the one and only Adam Richman. Thanks so much for what you're doing. We'll see you down there, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you all for listening.